Pizza.
Currency is exposure and eyes on the work.
Hi, this is Karen Schomer, formerly of The Schomer Show. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Way Farms WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have one and don't need it, and it's a Macintosh 2019 or newer, please email info@wgxc.org for more information. Thank you for your contribution.
Hi, everyone. It's Lily, the youth peer leader from Mental Health Association of Columbia Green County's Clubhouse. Are you a teen wanting to learn more about health education? Maybe you're looking to complete your volunteer hours or in need of a job. The weekly teen clinic on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Family Planning, located on the third floor of the county building on Main Street in Catskill, can help you answer any of your questions. Information can be found at greengovernment.com. Hope to see you there.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Pat Merlino of Los Angeles, California. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Keep that flame burning forever, baby.
paradise. Those dreams that keep you free, baby. Yeah, you gotta make them dreams come true. Oh, keep them dreams burning, baby. Yeah, yeah, keep them dreams burning forever. Oh, dream, baby, dream, baby.
Mrs. to the Ether. My name is Kat Tice. That was Suicide, Dream Baby Dream, a special request from our guest today, artist Daniel Giordano. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Hey, Kat. Thanks so much for having me on the show. This is really fun. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling the pep that I always get when I start the show. Even on such a gorgeous gray rainy Sunday like today. I just had the thought that to ask you, because you had, you know, I always ask guests to kind of tell me what they're listening to right now, or just a song that has a lot of meaning for them. And you were very quick to the draw to kind of name that this was the song you wanted to hear, have me play. And I usually kind of like, this inspires like the playlist, however much we get to hear of whatever else. But I was just curious, why this song?
Alan Vega is a hero of mine. And this song in particular just reminds me that our reality is what we make of it. It could be anything we want. And I just stay close to my dreams and how to manifest them. And where I work on Vicky Island is a place both real and imagined where dreams do occur and come true.
For real. Well, that's a perfect segue to kind of talk about your work, which I absolutely love. And, you know, you work in a lot of mediums, sculpture for sure. Can you list off the list just for those who may not be aware or not looking at the pictures I posted online?
Like the details within the sculpture or the different mediums?
The different mediums that you work in.
So I'm primarily known for my assemblage hybrid sculpture using all different materials that are meaningful to me. I see them as all the different parts as attached to memory that the overall sculptures become reliquaries to my memories and lived experience. But I'm also working in drawing and works on paper. I'm working in photography. I've been making soundscapes, immersive sight works, experimental film most recently.
Cool. Thank you for breaking it down, because you work in a lot, and I knew that there was I didn't know about the soundscapes until just yesterday, and film, we got to talk about that another time. Something I think is so interesting about your work is that it is fantastic and surreal and definitely has a sense of world building to it. And one of the things that have become more, has made it even more fascinating to me is the interior dialogue, or maybe not so interior. I mean, literally, the whole concept of Vicky Island is an homage to your aunt, and is the name of your studio hub in Newburgh, which is a fantastic place, like no other I've ever seen. And yet it births these amazing ruptures of, I don't know even how to explain. They're just so fantastic, but they are, there is an ancestral, a commitment to an ancestral lineage. And with that has an inherent spirituality. You know, you're definitely in conversation with those who are with us, those who are no longer with us, and memory. And I want to hear everything about it, I guess. you had used this phrase in when we were doing our pre-conversation that I've been thinking about, where you say something to the effect of there's a Giordano-fication of materials I utilize. And I'd love for you to maybe explain that in however way you want to.
Sure. Yeah, I like to think of what I do with materials as sufficiently Giordano-fy them. So sort of defunking and defiling the surface of things, maybe even considered as vandalism. And that's my dastardly, impish, trickster maneuvers to manipulate and make objects ever more of my own. And that's where the Giordano-fying comes in to play.
It's a little bit burning wax.
Burning, deep frying.
Deep frying,
Tarnishing, scrubbing, any number of verbs and acts on the surface. A lot of concocting where I'm staining or gunking up the surface to make these seamless transitions and surface treatments. So a lot of different material applications on the surface of things, or making things that are inherently shiny or matte their opposite. I'm trying to push materials so they don't exist in the same way that they typically would in our realm. They become something new or something pushed through the process of my handling and my alchemy, I guess.
Yeah, and in these processes, how does memory come into play?
I'm thinking about, I'm particular about the materials that I'm using. So yes, I do use a wide range of materials that end up being material lists that are almost like a laundry list, can be paragraphs long, but each and every one of them more or less is something that has a memory attached to it for me, whether it's tennis balls signifying my love of tennis and my history of competing internationally in the sport, to clinker bricks that I collect along the Hudson River that are all morphed and groggy. Some are conglomerated all together to make these larger masses. which are often more rare to find and kind of special for me to find, to urinal cake and orange Tang drink mix. And my relationship to those things in the world, or my projections of their metaphors for personal anecdotes.
Awesome.
So it spans from memory to embellished memory to anecdotes to metaphors of connections between loved ones.
Amazing.
And things of that nature.
Cool. And I, you know, you've explained some of this to me before, but I feel like, you know, in the first show I saw of yours was like your exhibition at Mass MoCA a few years ago now. And which was called Vicky Island, which is
Love from Vicky Island.
Love
yeah.
from Vicky Island. Right. And so I feel like even begin to try to understand what you're doing, the myth, the legend of Vicky Island, like, needs to be unlocked in some way. I feel like I have been given some lens, but I'd love to hear you talk about it through the work and what Vicky Island is, and maybe who Vicky was, or
formerly known as the Vicky Clothing Company, my grandfather started a coat manufacturing business out of that building
in Newburgh.
And he named it after his daughter, Vicky, the middle child. Vicky's still alive. She moved to Florida. She's miserable there. She misses Newburgh.
Yeah.
I miss Vicky.
Aww.
We would have Sunday pasta dinners together. We just go on diatribes of venting and going down memory lane. I'm actually going to try to plan to see Vicky, hopefully in February or something. Going to take a trip down to Florida. But so the factory is named after Vicky. And my dad ran the business successfully until the late 90s, until he couldn't compete with offshore manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly had to close the factory and lay off 80 workers more or less that were employed there. And from then he opened up a marine canvas and upholstery shop. So he was making bespoke boat enclosures that could collapse and open up. And he was also doing the upholstery for the cushioning and seating, as well as inside cabin upholstery, cushioning and things like that. And he did that until the mid to late 2010s. And since then it was kind of dormant, and I took advantage of its idleness. And I branded it as Vicky Island because I see it as a place unlike anything surrounding it, where I can generate the type of work that I'm making. It informs me, and it's been my playground since I was a kid. So it's where I have the most fun, and it feels like the Wild West, where I can get away with anything and do anything I want. There's different segments of Vicky Island. It's divided into three floors. The first being the dungeon, the second being no man's land, and the third being the penthouse. On the penthouse is where I make everything from objects that fit in the palm of your hand to life size.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, there's a section of the penthouse that has Vicky Island boot camp with Olympic rings and a row machine and scaffolding that I use as free weights.
Mm-hmm.
And there's spirit entities that reside on Vicky Island that inform the work. So there's a reinterpretation of my grandfather in the form of this naughty monk called Douche Monk. And Douche Monk, whenever I'm in the factory, no matter where I am in the factory, is whispering in my ear, find your true self and go screw it. And once you do, unleash the fury full throttle. There are other entities that reside on Vicky Island, including the spirit entities of Sexy and Cruddy that inform my aesthetic sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of what I do as procuring sexy results through means of the quick and dirty, and they help facilitate that. And then there's the overarching belief in and spirit of Vicky. Hands to work, hearts to Vicky. Do I have it in me to be Vicky? What would Vicky do? Vicky is my faith, and I have to keep generating in the memory of Vicky and the factory, which was manufacturing. So I try to work in a similar fashion by producing en masse rather than mass producing these unique objects.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of flipping the manufacturing on its head, but acting as if I'm one of the machines or cogs that were roaring and leaking grease in the factory at one time. So trying to keep that energy alive as it also fuels me, because that's the vibe in there.
Yeah. Thank you for breaking that down.
Of course. Yeah,
it's there's you can feel something in the air when you're in that building for sure. And you know, you alluded to this, and you know, we've had a few conversations about kind of the ritual of the artist and the individual practices we do to kind of maintain focus, take care of ourselves, get grounded, what have you. You have several interesting ones. and you mentioned that you know, the Art Olympics or the Olympic floor. You described yourself in our pre-interview as like an art athlete.
Yes.
And I relate to this on so many different levels. Not that I'm like athletic in any way, shape, or form, but I feel like just kind of the impetus to do is an athletic durational performance that an artist has to kind of figure out how to maintain. And I'm curious to, and I also know like we're going to be kind of like thinking through kind of some strategies to move forward with Vicky Island and also kind of maintain your sense of self and peace in our reading. So, but I'd love to kind of hear you talk about what does it mean to be an art athlete for you?
Well, I mean, as art is my passion, just as, in another life, tennis was my full on passion. I'm eating, sleeping, and excreting art. If I'm not in the studio, I have studio of the mind. And that never leaves. It's always turned on. I'm always, when I'm walking down the street, no matter where I am, scavenging for particular materials that catch my eye, or jotting ideas down in my notebook, or scanning and trying to pick apart vivid moments in film or in sections of some poetry or fictional book that I'm reading. Yeah, I very much treat and apply what I learned in the discipline, tenacity, and consistency of being an athlete in tennis to my approach to being an artist today. And I have an innumerable amount of rituals that I feel I have to check on a daily basis in order for me to function optimally. whether it's cognitively, physically, and always being poised and ready for what's coming down the pipeline, whether I'm about to turn up the furnace and cook down metal in the crucible to pour molten metal, or poised to campaign spew my spiel in the moment with someone I meet, or negotiating a potential exhibition or whatever the scenario might be, but just always being present and prepared. Best practices. So
yeah,
that boils down to daily rituals with my my lifestyle practices of health and vanity, wellness, in what I'm putting in my body, or exercising sufficiently, exposing myself to forest bathing. So
amazing.
It takes a village.
Takes a village, all within ourselves. Cool. I started shuffling while you were talking.
Yeah.
And I was ecstatic to discover that this is your second reading ever.
Uh-huh.
I love a newbie. I'll take a picture. We're on Zoom, just dear listeners. Just so you know, I know we've done some live in person for a while. So I will send you a picture of this, Daniel, so you can have the spread. And show you cards, and you know, dear listeners, I'll just describe as best I can what's happening as usual. But so the question that we wanted to ask was something to the effect of, Daniel is asking the question, and we can recenter the phrasing if you feel differently about it since a day. What do I, Daniel, need to relearn in my practice? Does that still sound?
That sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm doing a traditional Celtic cross. And just to show you, Daniel, because I always read from the same deck, but you know, if you're new to this, I always read from Lisa Stirl's Modern Witch tarot deck. She uses the archetypes of the OG Rider-Waite with a contemporary feminist and queer lens in her illustrations of the archetypes. So we like that. cool. Okay, so in the center, I like to think of this as the protagonist card, because we're always the protagonists of our own journeys. I think that's where like this very trendy phrase of like main character energy comes from. And I think this actually feels really true for you. now you just like you operate. Mm-hmm. So we got Eight of Pentacles in the middle. I'll show you. And Pentacles represent money for the most part, but it's also about kind of like getting down to work. And she's literally just hard at work in her studio. Like,
wow.
Yeah. And that's you. And we're like, yeah, we're giving each other a look like, yeah, couldn't be more literal. Actually, thanks. Tell me something I don't know. But I always cross her with another card, because we're never just one thing. and you got Temperance.
Ooh.
Right, which feels true. Just because you have been showing so much the past few years. You've been doing a lot, and it's all fabulous. And for those who are curious to hear and see where Daniel has shown in the past few years, you can just check out the show page because his bio is just too long. But you're tired, you know, and you're like in a place where, you know, there's always like a balance of there is such a thing as too much of a good thing, you know, and it kind of can get to a place where like all the output makes it hard to kind of figure out like what the input even is anymore.
And that's equally as important.
It's so important. And, you know, and hence why I think it's so important to think about kind of like, what do we do to take care of ourselves? What are our rituals? Like, how do we maintain that studio time? What does it mean to lose the studio time? How do we compensate for that, et cetera? And based on our practices, we find different modalities to work. And you're very much in a place. I interpret this temperance as very much a message, which you already know, because tarot does not predict the future. It is a mirror. That it's time for you to rebalance. You're very much thinking about rebalancing.
Reading.
Oh, I love this for you. Okay, so sorry.
What, the third one?
I have a bad habit of like kind of commenting on cards as I pull them. Okay. And then I'm like, you know, and like, it's not a cool thing to do to people, especially when they don't know cards as much and you can't see like until I show you the cards. It's really not fair. So sorry, that was lame. But, so in the cross, the top, there's like, one card above the center, and then there's one below. How I perceive the card above is sort of how we are, how we're being perceived. It could be true. It could be also a performance. Both things can be true. Both things can be happening at the same time. And then there is also the card below is sort of like what the internal like dialogue is. And yours are pretty much on the money. So, but I got excited just because you got my favorite card is your internal dialogue, which is the Star.
Oh.
Yeah, I love her.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's great. And I
have a seven-pointed star?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's, I love that number.
Yeah, she's a great card. And and I just to kind of do a little bit more, I like to think of her, when I think of the Star, I think of the phrase about Ginger Rogers. She was a star because she could dance backwards in heels.
And, wow, sophisticated, cool.
Right, yeah, like kind of like she could do everything that Fred Astaire could do, but she did backwards in heels. And I think that is like star energy of like, really like the priority for you is like maintaining that energy. And that is really kind of like soul priority, which totally makes sense. 'Cause it's like, you are your work, you said it yourself. And also like, balance is necessary. Your external projection is the Hermit.
Oh.
But reversed.
Okay.
You are feeling a need and maybe you are doing a little less. And part of the recalibration, the rebalancing is really like kind of thinking deeply about you're putting yourself out there-ness. And also kind of troubling that also with a kind of just like, when do I just get to be Daniel and be out in the world? And how much of that is necessary for me and how much isn't? And, right. And, you know, and maybe it's just really like more time in the studio, but like this, these are all the questions. And, but folks are sensing and noticing like, kind of like, oh, you're a little less out and about. no bad, no harm. There's nothing big deal about it. Like, this is just the reality of it. And it all makes sense. You've been out a lot.
Yes.
So it's cool. Okay.
Fascinating. This makes sense. Yeah. And this is something I've been feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just want to disappear for a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, but all for really good purposes, just to kind of hone the magic, literally.
And recharge.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally temperance. Like, it's just like, kind of like, I need to relax. And then, so we got for past. So the past is, that placement is really, you know, because, you know, the past is the past, but like its affects and show up when it needs to kind of remind us. Usually it's like kind of some sort of like pattern, you know, for the most part, you know, and kind of getting messages of like noticing, like, am I recreating the pattern? Am I, is something that like consistently happening again with like a different person, like, you know, something like that, right? You got Six of Pentacles reversed.
Okay.
And she kind of represents abundance and generosity, like having enough to give away.
Oh.
In the past. the placement is important. I mean, this card always represents that. But it's in the reverse, which means this past memory, experience, what have you, is one of which generosity has not been honored or appreciated or acknowledged.
Got it.
And it's showing up as a reminder to think about how to go forward. I think a message I'm getting is, as you're restructuring and rebalancing your energy and how you spend your time and who you spend your time with is important to think about. Because you have a lot. But are you sharing it with the people that kind of truly appreciate it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the question for you to think about.
Yeah, good to be aware of.
Yeah, no, but I think, you know, energetically, we always have to, you know, it's like, it's one thing to think about, like, kind of like, you know, it's important to think about what we put in our bodies. It's important to think about, you know, how we spend our time and what time we make up and all those important things. But like, also, like, it's really important to think about, like, who do we surround ourselves with? Because that is,
we only have so much bandwidth.
Exactly. And I think kind of like in this phase, you've proven enough and you've given enough and you show what you have, you've shown what you have. And now it's like kind of time to be like, who do I want to share that with truly?
Yes.
Okay. This is a big question for you. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
This is a big question. This is a big question. Yeah. Yeah. This is a big question for you. Like, this question of like, you have it together with like kind of doing the work. Like, you're good. You're goal. You're a self-described art athlete. Like, you know, like you have it. For, I think in this moment of transition and kind of rebalancing, so much of it is like thinking about just the energetic boundaries you have with others and how to negotiate that. So King of Pentacles, you're getting a lot of pentacles. You have, you know, it might, you know, pentacles, you know, when I say like, it's like abundance, I always think it's better than thinking about money. Like, it can mean money. It can mean losing money. But, you know, abundance can look like a lot of things. And I think that you have so much energy and you put so much energy out into this work that, like, literally reflects back onto whoever witnesses it. And that's like a real superpower, you know? And I think, so where it's showing up, so it's in the future card, but I like to think of it as the future present, because, like, going back, tarot does not predict the future, does not predict the future. It just kind of reflects back where you're at. It's acknowledging that you are fully aware of, like, your power, but also you have been giving it a little too much, I don't want to say attention. And I think it's also probably where this kind of, like, misbalance of kind of, like, the wrong people or people, like, not really appreciating how much you've been giving to them comes into play. Like, that's kind of really where the misbalance is. I know, like, we've talked about kind of, like, the very kind of practical, like, to-dos of, like, cleaning the studio and blah, 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 you know, and, like, writing the grant and, like, all that stuff. That's not the issue. It's actually not the issue. The issue is, like, the energy around, it's, like, the people, you know, and not just, like, kind of, like, just, it's just, like, the people around you. Like, that's, like, the thing to really, like, negotiate, like, kind of, like, do you have clear, like, reciprocal balanced boundaries with the people around you?
Yeah, that's a constant negotiation, is the boundaries, and also just learning them as I tumble through.
Right.
I'm also thinking, I wonder if it's being inundated with exhibitions versus slowing down with 100%. Exhibiting.
100%. Yeah, no, and it's just like, and that's the thing, it's like, I don't get a sense, like, you're surrounded by bad people. They think it's, like, kind of, like, expectations and living up to those expectations, like, and at what cost to whatever else. And then having that kind of stacked on top, and then it's just, like, less and less for yourself, less and less for, like, your loved ones, less and less for the studio, less and less for...
Right.
Eating a balanced meal, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Less and less and less and less and less. And it's like now the time of the con, okay, like, now I'm going to be more mindful about how many I do a year. And I'm going to, like, put in, like, X amount of time in between to kind of, like, have real downtime.
Right.
And not just maybe, well, saying yes to everything. Think about that.
Yeah, being more selective. I mean, this year in particular, I felt like the exhibition schedule has slowed down my routine of just being present on Vicky Island and giving my attention to spending quality time there.
Yeah.
Whether it's organizing and cleaning and situating the work and making the space suitable to make new work on top of just the basic production of making work.
Yeah.
These exhibitions have become kind of all encompassing.
Yeah. It's literally reflecting back, because it's all abundance too. Like, and that's the thing, that's the tricky thing about it, is, like, you don't want to seem like you're not appreciative of the generosity of interest and enthusiasm about your work. So it's a very tricky, subtle double bind.
It's momentum and it's exposure. Out.
Right. Right. It's exhausting you. Sorry.
It's exhausting. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Despite how much I want to say that I'm always full throttle.
Totally. You're a human being. If anything, we've just revealed publicly that you're just a human being, and it's okay. And we all love and accept you anyway.
I want to be human. No, I am human. I haven't ascended to superhuman just yet.
Not yet, but close. so how to go about that, really, for real? So you got Four of Pentacles reversed. And she is, some would call her miserly. Like, she's really good at kind of like, you know, when she's upright, she usually represents kind of concerns about finances. But I'm sensing here, it's really about, you know, I think part of this pullback for you is also thinking about how to manage resources better. So not just within like your personal energy, also kind of like what you're exerting with materials and, all the, what you have as resources to kind of just like live your life and do your work. Like, that's like the real kind of like organization, is like thinking about kind of like where over expenditure is happening. How could it be rethought? Yeah, rethinking that. I don't need to see the Knight of Pentacles, who, because I know you have it, but like, you know, they're a very capable human being. They get stuff done. When the Knight of Pentacles shows up, like, everything is handled, you know, like, so you've got this, like, you know, but I think it's like kind of like some specifics. It's like, it's not, you know, like, yeah, there's like the to-do list, like, you know what you need to do. We all know what we need to do, brush our teeth, whatever. But like, you're like kind of like the big kind of like things to really like notice, like not just like in the day, like the day to day, but also kind of energetically, is like the people around you, and also thinking about where resources are being overspent on and how those can be rethought. But you can do it, you know, like you're committed and you will. Eight of Cups represents, they're going away. It's a necessary leaving. This is a very necessary thing to do right now. There's no question. There's no discourse about this. Like, you gotta do right. This. You gotta step away. Yeah. You know, you gotta keep them guessing. You gotta make people miss you a little bit.
Why not? Exactly. People miss us. We got to disappear for a second once in a while.
Exactly. It's like, it's a little bit of flirtation with the world, you know, you can't be too available. and then lastly, and I love this for you, you got Strength.
Oh.
And she's a majestic, majestic being with her pet lion. You've got this. Like, this is it's going to work out great. Like, but like really kind of, you know, noticing these two kind of like the energetic outputs are like through people expectations and kind of overspending that needs to be rethought.
Yeah. We pulled amazing cards.
You get, this is a great reading. I'm really happy for you.
So insightful and spot on.
Good. Do you have any questions?
Not at the moment. I think I just have to live through it and act on these insights.
Amazing. I agree, but you're doing great. Before we go, I'm going to play some Brian Eno and David Byrne, to close out the show. But do you, where you have some work showing up in the city right now? Where's the name of the gallery again?
Spieltzeug.
Where is it?
It's 131 Christie Street. In Lower Manhattan.
Fabulous. Cool. Well, thanks for listening to Missives to the Ether, and I will be here next month. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
Put your head up in there. This is from the Peter House. Okay, sister, you have a just about spirit within you. You have a spirit of